You've expended funds to the Pentagon so they could buy a $2,000 John or a coffee pot for the price of a Monet. And Andre Serrano got his start by pissing in a bucket and calling it art and receiving 30 grand from the NEA to subsidize some artsy-fartsy fecal fetish jerk. It's all your tax dollars at work. And for several weeks, Congress went on hold for a filibuster on gun control by the Republicans and some Democrats from the South. Well, instead of paying 20 million bills buying fertilizer for their district's fields, we should use the stuff that comes out of their mouth. And it sometimes comes out fast, sometimes comes out slow, and all the while the government payroll is shelling out tons of dough. 'Cause whether it's a two-faced hack or the postman gone berserk, it's all your tax dollars at work. And in Washington they've got limousines while they say they feel our pain, but the mayor doesn't feel anything 'cause he's smoking crack cocaine. I never knew that sex and drugs was a governmental perk. It's all your tax dollars at work. This is your tax dollars at work.
Red light, stop. Green light, go. Every symbol has a meaning, even those symbols on the meat sold in your grocery store. I'm Sarah Beck, Consumer Meat Specialist, U.S. Department of Agriculture. The purple shield with the letters USDA and the word prime, choice, or good is your sign of quality. Quality that's been checked by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Prime means it's the top grade and usually the most expensive. Choice, the grade you'll see in most stores, is also very high in quality. If the meat has been graded for quality, you'll know that it has also passed a strict inspection for wholesomeness. You'll see the symbol for wholesomeness, a round purple inspection mark, on wholesale cuts of meat and packaged meat products. For more information on buying meat, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
Medford, 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek Gary and Chase Belain with you until 9 o'clock, but On the Town with Mikey D. We'll be here with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. And speaking of local music, Chase Belain, here at WMFO on Saturday, May 4th, that is
the day after my birthday.
That is that is 2 weeks from Saturday.
Tis.
Saturday, May 4th, you can go see me in Titanic at the North Shore Music Theater.
Get it,
D. But before that, You're going to want to tune into WMFO because here at WMFO on Saturday, May 4th, tune in to hear some of your favorite local musicians between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m. WMFO will host 9 bands and musicians. Yes, folks, that is 9 local bands and musicians.
My goodness, how are they even going to fit them in here?
It is the WMFO.
I'm just kidding. It's an enormous studio.
Yes. It is the WMFO 91.5 FM live music day. So here's your schedule for this. 9 a.m. to 9:40 a.m., the Cast Irons will be playing. That's your breakfast wake-up treat. 9:55 to 10:35, Anthony Kaczynski will be in the studio. 10:50 to 11:30 a.m., Peter Parsek. 11:45 to 12:25, Danielle Miraglia with Lisa Bastoni. 12:40 to 1:20, Lily Black. That's going to be good. 1:35 to 2:15.
Oh, yeah, it is.
62 Ghosts will be here. 2:30 to 3:10, Will Daly. 3:25 to 4:05, Flight of Fire. And closes out 4:20 to 5 p.m., Celebutante. That is, folks, 8 hours.
Oh, I love Celebutante. I've seen them. They're great.
8 hours of live music right here on WMFO.
Get it.
Saturday, May 4th. Then at 5 o'clock, after Celebutante is done, you get in your car, you go to the North Shore Music
and
Theater.
And then you go see Dee.
You go see Titanic.
Yeah. And I've been coaching Dee on his Irish brogue. And I mean, it's getting there. It's getting pretty good.
It's going to be the best May 4th ever, Shea Spillane.
Oh my goodness, he's getting so good at it.
It's going to be the best May 4th ever.
All you have to do a proper Irish brogue is to pretend that there's a bit of maple syrup stuck between your lower teeth and your lower lip, and then you can't let it spill. Well, speaking of a different part of Europe and national news, this is something that's been actually, like I said, everything. It's close to home this week. But authorities in Paris are still trying to piece together exactly what happened before Notre Dame Cathedral caught fire, which officials at this moment believe was an accident. This is according to CBS News. About 50 investigators are involved with the probe, and they have started questioning 30 employees from different companies, including the ones that were involved in the cathedral's restoration work. That's the irony, is that they were actually in the midst of doing restorations. They had brought out, which is kind of, to me, a bit of a red flag that there were people that knew that they were pulling things out of there. That's why, I mean, I don't like to toss the term inside job around.
No, I don't think
at the same time, they say accident, but I've been to Notre Dame.
As have I.
And structurally, I don't really understand how it could accidentally catch fire.
Well, here's a truth. This is not a universal truth, but this is one of those, you know, if you see this, there is a strong chance that this is what happened. If a building catches on fire and you see scaffolding outside, there is a very good chance that the people working on the building were responsible for the fire.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Now, let's think about what's going on here. You're messing around with wiring. You've probably got people with acetylene torches and blow torches hanging around. You may have people smoking where they're not supposed to be smoking. You may have highly flammable chemicals that are being used to strip things or preserve things or who knows what. There are so many different ways that a job site can catch fire. That it's amazing.
That's true.
The great miracle is that more of them don't. Okay? I've been on job sites where fires all of a sudden pop up. And it's like, hey, where'd that come from? You know, because the wrong chemicals wound up in the wrong place. Or the sun got on something. Or a wire short-circuited. And all of a sudden it's like, anybody smell smoke? Hey, those are flames over there. Seen it happen. Seen it, been there when it's happened. Now, the problem you have with Notre Dame, this is they started building that thing in 1100.
Yes.
Okay?
Well, that's my big beef.
The wood is 800 years old. 900 years old, almost 1,000 years old at this point. And that's going to go up pretty quick. Pretty quick. Like wood that's 100 years old.
I mean, think of how dry it must be.
Yeah.
Well, that's been like, honestly, the reason that this story is more is so important to me is I, you know, anyone who listens to us all the time knows that I do not believe in religion, but was raised extremely Catholic. And Notre Dame is technically a Catholic church. And there's been a lot of people being like, there have been a lot of people being like, oh, this is against the Catholic Church. Like, this is something about that. And I've had to argue with people on Facebook and on various kinds of social media, which I've been trying very hard to not argue with people, because I've realized that, I mean, engaging the majority of people and trying to get some sort of intelligent discussion going is useless.
Can I offer you some advice?
Just quit Facebook.
No. Can I offer you some advice on that front? Unfriend those people and don't ever speak to them again.
Oh, some of them are not my friends.
Yeah.
They're just people that are able to respond to me because I'm commenting on somebody else's post.
Yeah.
But my point being that I get very, very, very upset.
There is a three-word response to anybody who says anything negative about this. And that three-word response
is... It's go word I can't say on the radio yourself.
No, because that's... That doesn't mean anything.
It means a lot to me.
The three-word response that will shut them up and shut them down is, you're a monster. Just leave those three words.
I tried that earlier today.
Leave those three words and walk away. Well,
I also said hate doesn't pay, but that didn't seem to touch them either.
If your attitude toward this is that this is something to be celebrated or this is something against the Catholic Church or what have you, you're a monster.
That's the thing, is that a lot of, like, what got me really riled up for the second time today was someone saying like, oh, so all of a sudden we're like defending the Catholic Church because Notre Dame got set on fire. And what I said was like, I mean, other than the golden rule and like the principles of Catholicism that I was taught as a child, and the like, just basically the things being like, don't be a jerk face. I don't identify with the religion anymore, but Notre Dame, you've been there, Dee, and I've been there, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have either been there or at least seen a picture of it. It's not about a religious structure. It's about a really, really beautiful piece of architecture and art, and it's a really big part of, if you've ever been to Paris, if you haven't, go, but if you've ever been to Paris, it's a really important, there are some beautiful structures there.
Go in August when the French aren't around.
But my point being that it's a really, taking religion completely out of it, it's just like, well, the comparison that I made when I was arguing about this on Facebook is like, I don't believe in Greek gods. Like, even less than I believe in Catholicism. But if the Parthenon got more destroyed than it already is, I would be really pissed off.
But it's
like,
right.
It's a matter of architectural and historical and artistic integrity.
But here's the thing, and it's interesting that you bring up the Parthenon, because Notre Dame is a 900-year-old building.
Dom, come on. Have some respect.
Notre Dame is a 900-year-old building. And the fact that it still stands
is amazing.
And the fact that the world watched in sadness as it burned, and the fact that so many people are stepping up to ask, what can I do, shows some evidence that we have matured as a species.
Oh, absolutely. There was literally a, like, pass it along line of people trying to preserve as much as they could of what wasn't burning.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you remember where I went to high school. I went to Notre Dame Academy, that was of the Order of Nuns of Notre Dame de Namur, which was out of Notre Dame.
Ile de la Cité.
Well, it's funny. That's some of, other than Je voudrais le fromage, which means I would like some cheese. The only French I know is...
J'aime beaucoup de fromage.
Io parlo italiano più bene che io parlo francese e spagnolo.
Bafongo.
That's a good thing to know in Italian. The other French I know is just our like school motto and our school prayer.
But
it's Equilibre bon, le bon Dieu. How good is the good God?
Think about Rome. Think about you go to Rome and everything is in ruins. Everything is falling apart. Colosseum's falling apart. Parthenon's falling apart. You know, there's still bits and pieces of stuff up here and there.
But
once upon a time, those were the most important buildings in the world.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
And no one stood and fought for them. They were eventually allowed to decay and people just walked away from them.
Well, that's because Rome fell.
But it's not
the Catholic Church has.
But it's not. It's not. I mean, part of it is because, you know, Nero had spent all the money and those things were ridiculously expensive to maintain. But at the same time, there wasn't a will on the part of anyone to say, you know, we got to preserve this. We got to keep this in one piece. It's all gone. All of it is destroyed. Every bit of it. Like, the Parthenon is the most complete thing that's still left.
That's true. Before I made that statement, do you know what's weird? There is actually a, like, half-scale replica of the Parthenon in, like, Tennessee or something.
Yeah, there's Stonehenge out in Texas somewhere.
What are they doing? Before I made that argument with somebody, because kids... I'm a daughter and sister of a lawyer. Of course I'm going to argue with everybody all the time. That's why Dee and I get along so well, because we just get off on arguing with one another. But I made sure to look, being like, the Parthenon is still like partially there, right?
Yeah. But here's the thing.
I unfortunately haven't gotten to see it in person yet. I'd love to, because Athena is dope.
This is not.
I don't believe that she actually exists, but she's pretty cool.
This is not the first time that Notre Dame has suffered damage. It would certainly be less expensive and more profitable to knock it down and put up a mixed-use condominium retail restaurant structure in the heart of Paris. That real estate would be worth billions. Instead,
I wish that the board wasn't so big, because then my arm could reach far enough to slap you.
But this is the thing.
For saying that.
But this is the thing. No one is saying that. No one is even considering that.
Of course not. And by the way, it's not in the heart of Paris. It is on, you have to, it's like on an island. It's like separate
that,
from Paris.
Yeah, but the Ile de la Cité is like pretty much in the middle of everything. It's not that far off from the Arc de Triomphe.
That's what I was going to say, is the Arc de Triomphe is like the center of
Paris. That is the physical center of the city.
Like literally the center of the city.
Yeah, and
it's like the most bonkers roundabout I've ever seen in my life.
And Paris basically exists.
And that's coming from an Irish person.
Paris exists in concentric circles and spokes that come off of Arc de Triomphe. That's the way the whole thing was laid out.
I know, it's just like Boston. It's adorable.
Yeah, Boston's not but the thing is,
I remember I got to Paris and was like, this is so confusing. I was like, are you kidding? This looks so doable.
No one is even suggesting take it down. No one is even, the first response from everybody is
fix it,
rebuild it. And are the stained glass windows okay? Yes, they are.
Well, that's no.
Those are medieval era stained glass windows.
I was going to say, well, that is honestly, that is the only part of this that made me legitimately start crying is all the stained glass windows are not okay. The most important ones, the ones that were right in the front that make the really...
The rosettes.
Yeah, two of them are blown up. And they've been there, like you said, since 1100.
Yeah. But big chunks of them did survive. And that's, you know, that's an important thing because there aren't too many places in the world that you're going to see something that's been standing for 800 years.
But that's, well, and that's my point is that, like, people keep being like, the big argument on social media right now is, oh, well, we didn't get this upset when people were burning black churches in the South or, like, when people were, like, this isn't about church. This isn't about religion. This is about a beautiful, beautiful structure.
And again, I go back to my response. You're a monster. We as a species have matured because we care about this. If you can't bring yourself to care about this, you are a monster. You can correct your condition of monstrousness by developing some empathy and maybe reading a little and understanding how history works, or you can go on being a monster.
Well, it seems like, do you get, like, the pyramids are a religious structure.
Yes.
Like I said, the Parthenon.
It's a religious
structure.
Yes. Boy, those Greeks and Romans really got what they deserved, didn't they, Shay?
Oh, Jesus H.
It's stupid. These.
Why can't all of you be as smart as me and Derek?
Honest
to God, I'm getting very. I'm 3 weeks shy of 33 years old, and I'm getting very tired of explaining things.
These are dull, non-creative people, and some of them are in fact monsters.
Don't say.
Some of them are in fact monsters who are so self-absorbed that they have to hijack it and say, "Look at me, look at me, look at me." No, this isn't look at me time. This is sit down and shut up and listen to what other people are saying time.
Because this is times that the adults are supposed to speak.
This is a huge loss for the world. Now, we're going to rebuild the thing.
But still,
it's not going to be the same.
Like, this thing is, like, the fact that anyone is trying to make this about religion is utterly absurd.
Yeah.
Like, if... It would be like... Like, if the Eiffel Tower was set on fire.
Yeah, that thing's an eyesore. It'd be like if the Louvre was set on fire.
Okay. Well, no, my point being, if the Eiffel Tower was set on fire and everyone got upset and then a bunch of people were like, well, it's shaped like a penis. What are you, sad? Like, is this, like, penis culture?
Yeah. That's revenge for toxic masculinity. Shut up.
Yeah, like, that's exactly what this feels like. It's like, shut up.
These are your choices.
I am the number one person who's allowed to talk about this. I am a confirmed Catholic. I was an altar server for 10 years.
Yeah, nobody likes you anymore.
Shut up. I am Irish freaking Catholic, and I renounced all of it because religion is dumb. I'm here to tell you, religion is dumb. But, like, I can appreciate and be... I feel it in my heart. I feel the pain in my heart from Notre Dame being harmed. As someone who appreciates architecture and art and history.
History.
And the fact that there are so many people who can't. Oh, I want to punch my laptop, but I won't because it's a MacBook Air and it will definitely break.
Yeah, if your take is anything other than this is a tragedy and how do we move forward, I have no problem silencing you. I have no problem silencing you at all because no one cares what you have to say. Sit down and shut up. Go find something else to be outraged and upset and problematic about. This isn't your time. This is actual real news. This is a real thing that happened that really affects a lot of real people. And we don't want to listen to your millennial hot takes right now. Shut up.
Amen.
You're a monster.
Amen.
Shut
Amen.
Up.
Amen. Amen. I didn't mean to do that to the tune of Jaylene. I don't generally
do a talk show where we tell the listeners to shut up. But on this one,
shut up.
Yeah, nobody cares. Yeah,
nobody cares that you're like, oh my God, religion. Shut up.
Yeah, shut up. If that's your take, you're wrong. Go read a book. Go read a book. Go learn something.
We just high-fived across the board. That almost never happens.
That was my world.
Usually it's
well.
Our throwing things at each other.
Here's some fun. No insurance. The building is uninsured.
Of course it's not. Because we can just skip. We can skip yours and you want to go to sports?
No, I'm not done yet. It's uninsured because France owns the building and they're like, oh yeah.
It's uninsured because France. That's the best thing I've ever heard Derek say.
We don't insure those. $8 billion is the estimate right now.
$8 billion
to rebuild that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean that to be a religious statement. That was me expressing like, holy mother.
$8 billion. Now, one piece of advice for everybody, and please pass this along to other people that you know.
I don't know anyone.
If they are millennials, if they're millennials with hot takes, tell them to shut up. But
I've done that all day.
Don't give money to anybody, for God's sake. Do not give money to anybody. Don't give money to a GoFundMe.
Please. Don't give money to a Kickstarter. The country of France needs to pay for this.
These scammers.
This is exactly as I said earlier. This is one of the principal structures. Like, I spent 3 days in Paris when I was in Paris. And guess what? One of the things we made a point that was a bit out of the way to see. Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We actually devoted like 6 hours to it, which is a lot when you only have 3 days in Paris. France owes that structure so much money anyway. Do not donate to this because
wait until somebody actually sets up an official fund, which has not been done yet. Don't go throw money at some stupid GoFundMe.
If it doesn't say .gov.
No, even then.
Don't
give money to anybody until an official fundraising charity is launched. Don't do it. I know you're Americans. I know the American response.
I know you're Americans, so I know you're stupid.
No. The American response.
I'm sorry, that was harsh.
The American response to tragedy is, where do I send money? That's what we do. Like, we're upset about something. It's like, where do I send money? And it's, don't send money anywhere.
Hey,
right
my
now.
Cervix hurts. I'm at Chase Belaine. You can just toss it right into my Facebook account.
Don't send money.
Don't discourage them if they're going to send it to me.
I got very discouraging news today.
Yeah,
Chase Belaine.
That's my least favorite kind of news.
This story has been going back and forth all day, and you know every twist and turn of it just makes me more and more worried. From ABC News, the judge overseeing the case in which New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft is charged with soliciting prostitution halted Florida prosecutors' plans to release police surveillance video from a spa at which Kraft and 24 other men have been charged with paying for and receiving sexual favors. Quote, I don't want this released until I've ruled, Florida Circuit Court Judge Joseph Marks said in an emergency hearing on a conference call with the two parties and the media late Wednesday afternoon.
You ruined my weird news story. Continue.
The drama began earlier Wednesday when Palm Beach County prosecutors indicated that they were preparing to release the potentially embarrassing surveillance video from inside the spa. Please. Okay. Mr. Kraft, everybody else who's involved in this damn thing. Two words that I want you to memorize. Two words. Nolo contendere. Nolo contendere. Nolo contendere. I do not want to watch this damn video. You know what else I don't want? I don't want a million memes showing up online where Roger Goodell and, I don't know, Tom Brady are performing the acts on Robert Kraft, or Robert Kraft is performing the acts on the Jets mascot, and whatever it's going to be. I don't want this out there. I don't want to see it. I don't want to know.
Unfortunately, I have another Latin phrase to throw at you.
Nolo contendere.
Res ipsa loquitur.
Nolo contendere.
Res ipsa loquitur.
Apparently.
For those of you who don't speak Latin, that means the thing speaks for itself, which means that these videos are not going to need any commentary.
No, but you know, as soon as they hit the web, people are going to be putting faces on them. And you know.
But I'm saying, what I mean is that there's nothing. Once these videos get out, there's not going to be anything that can be said about them because it's like my favorite Latin phrase, to be frank with you. My father taught it to me and I was like, I love that phrase. My father and my sister are lawyers. Our listeners know this. But res ipsa loquitur. It literally translated means the thing speaks for itself.
Under Florida's so-called...
And that's what it's going to do.
Under Florida's...
No one can say a word.
Under Florida's so-called sunshine law, Mr. Kraft, did your attorneys know about this before they decided to fight the legality of the video? Under Florida's so-called sunshine law, any records made or received by any public agency in the course of its official business are available for inspection unless specifically exempted by the Florida legislature. Which means you need an act of Florida's Congress saying, thou shalt not release the Robert Kraft video. You think Dolphin fans and Jacksonville fans are going to be saying, you can't release the Robert Kraft video? Nuh-uh. Which means one way or another, we are going to see Robert Kraft and a couple of middle-aged Asian women having a good time at the Rub and Tug Massage Parlor in Jupiter, Florida.
I will say that as much as I stand by my res ipsa loquitur, I really don't want to see that.
It's bad enough I got to go see that stupid new Star Wars movie that's coming out later this year. That should be punishment enough for me.
The minute you said Star Wars, my ears just
really should
shut
be
up.
Punishment enough for me. But no, I'm gonna have to watch the Robert Kraft sex video at some point. I didn't sign up for this.
Yay!
I did not sign up for this, Shea Spillane.
Derek, to be fair, I don't think any of us did.
God help us.
This is just downright terrifying.
Hey.
Well, to be honest, yes, I am quite excited about my sports news, which is bottom of the sixth, Sox up 3, Yankees have 1. I can't believe I'm not at this game, to be perfectly frank. Like, I love the Sox playing the Yankees. It is like the most heated that baseball gets is the Sox playing the Yankees. Like, I tried to explain it to somebody who's a White Sox fan, and they said to me, I don't really understand why the Red Sox and the Yankees hate each other so much. And I said to them, no, you really don't. You can't unless you're in it. Like, for us, this is religion. And for the Yankees fans, it is as well. And it's just, it's the most... People always wonder why I love baseball so much. And I actually explained it to one of my coworkers the other day, just saying, he's like, but it's so boring. I don't get it. And I told him, the great thing about baseball is that you can just have it on in the background. And then when you suddenly hear the announcer start sounding like this, you know that you should start looking at the TV and it's going to be amazing. And that's for those of you who aren't on the radio right now. I highly recommend piping in for that top of the seventh. Sox up by 2. Get.
If you only listen to Joe
knock,
Buck.
Knock, 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 knock.
If you only listen to Joe Buck, you have no idea what Shea is talking about. A caller just made a good point. And he was saying, well, what about the two women who were in the video? You know, aren't their faces going to be all over the place as well? If the video is released, the Florida prosecutors said that they were going to pixelate any of the naughty bits. But in a case like this...
Theoretically, aren't their faces part of the naughty bits?
No. Well, here's the thing. In a case like this, those two women are considered victims of a crime. So, they're...
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh. That was incredibly inappropriate. I apologize.
Yeah. Well, but they are, you know, but because they've been trafficked.
Just, I mean, but it's... It's... I mean, that's why I love our justice system, to be honest with
but,
you.
But here's the point. Their faces are very likely going to be blurred out when these videos are released. Because Robert Kraft is a public figure, and because everybody knows who he is, his face will not be blurred out, which means we will all get to see the Robert Kraft O face, which no one wants to see.
Oh, I don't want to see that even a tiny bit.
No one wants to see the Robert Kraft O face. So,
I don't even really like to see him when he's sitting in the owner's box.
And like
I don't even really like to see his face, like... Then, like when he's wearing his suit and his tie, like I look at his face and I'm like, ugh. Like, I don't want to see his.
And like I say, it's not, you know, once the video comes out, it'll be live for like 2 minutes before people get their hands on it. And suddenly it's like, you know, it's Pat Mahomes and it's Jared Goff with Robert Kraft, or it's Roger Goodell. And it's, I don't know, Sean Payton with Robert Kraft or Andy Reid with Robert Kraft. And Robert Kraft is doing things to other people in the NFL. That's what they're going to do with it.
But can it just be Gronkowski with me? Like, that's all I really want.
Like, one of the interesting things in this, part of the reason this came up.
Baby, I'm waiting for you.
Part of the reason this came up is because there is a trial moving forward against the woman that owned that massage parlor.
Yes, I saw that.
And they were going to release all of these videos in connection with her trial because they were being introduced into evidence. The women that actually performed the acts are not on trial because they were being trafficked.
So, yeah, so it's not... I'm sorry I laughed before. So it was just like such a weird...
No, this story is like...
Like this, I mean, it's... I laughed out of like nervous laughter, just like I don't even know how to fathom this in my brain.
For God's sake,
as
man.
As a woman particularly.
For God's sake, man, nolo contendere. Nolo contendere. Why are you fighting this?
Goodness gracious.
Felicity Huffman might be getting some jail time.
Speaking of which, in my entertainment.
Oh, here we go. Do we get more on Varsity Blues?
Lori Loughlin's daughter.
How's Olivia Jade doing?
Isabella Bella.
Oh, not Olivia Jade? This is the other one?
It's the other one. Isabella Bella Giannulli is taking a step back from the social media spotlight. The 20-year-old embattled student recently deactivated, this is according to Entertainment Tonight, that's why it's written that way, she recently deactivated her popular Instagram account shortly after her mother and father pleaded not guilty to multiple charges stemming from the high profile college admission scandal they were allegedly involved in. Bella's decision to delete her account comes just over a month after her mother did the same. Amid a storm of negative criticism. I'm sorry. I'm trying not to laugh, but I love this story.
I've got to get
amid
this
up. A storm of negative criticism in the comments on her posts.
I've got to get this up on Facebook at some point. I keep meaning to do it. Who did you refer to as embattled? Was that Isabella or is that Lori Loughlin?
Let me make sure to make this very, very clear. I was reading.
No, that's the point. I want
from Entertainment Tonight.
Yes, that's fine. But who was described as embattled?
That was which dum dum? Bella.
Okay, so this is the daughter.
Yes. Ooh. So but meanwhile, it goes on. Bella's younger sister, 19-year-old Olivia Jade.
Yes, Instagram star.
Also a popular social media star and Instagram influencer.
Of course.
Has yet to deactivate her account, which currently still has 1.4 million followers.
And one comment on one of her videos that says, LOL bribery, which I think was the funniest thing that anybody wrote about this.
Legitimately, I just want to trip these little girls and watch them fall down. I know that sounds really, really, really mean, but as we spoke about, you know that this story just...
Oh, yeah.
It really gets me because I worked my butt off to get into college when I didn't even want to to college.
Let me move this.
These little dummies are just...
Let me move this sideways for a second.
By the way, I'm saying this from one of the best universities in the world right now. I'm saying this from a top Tufts university, which is a fantastic university.
Because
these little dum-dums get to Instagram their way in. Oh my God.
There's an important word in that story that you just read, and it's the word embattled.
I won't lie, like that's what made me, I've been trying so hard not to laugh, but that is what made me start being like, are you freaking kidding me? You're embattled, you privileged silver spoon, yes, little butthead.
No, that's not, but keep in mind, that's not her. That's Entertainment Weekly's judgment. And let me explain.
But I'm sure she thinks of herself that way.
Let me explain this one bit of reality to you. This is a reality bomb I'm dropping on everybody right now.
Drop that bomb, baby.
There are three adjectives that you never want to see appear before your name because it means the lazy journalists have come for you. The first one is controversial.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad one.
Controversial means we think you've done a bad thing.
But we can't legally confirm it.
Right. We think you've done a bad thing. The second one is embattled. Embattled is a classic lazy journalist word, which means we are in the process of proving that you've done the bad thing.
Yeah, like it means like everyone's mad at you, but we haven't confirmed exactly why.
The third one is disgraced. Which means...
Oh, that's the worst one, I think.
Which means we've proven that you did the bad thing. So if you see any of those three adjectives appear next to your name in print, it means lazy journalists are after you and you need to run for the hills. Change your name, join witness protection, go to New Mexico, the gig is up.
Yeah, like you are Dunzo Patui.
Yeah, the gig is up. So that Entertainment Weekly is calling her embattled is not good. That is about as bad as it gets.
Like, honestly, no. It's not as bad as it gets.
Disgraced is as bad as it gets.
No, but just listen. If it was the 50-year-old embattled student or person was the phrase, that would be not so bad. What's as bad as it gets is the 20-year-old embattled student. Like, this chick's life is over.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is about as bad as it gets.
I'm saying, like, the 20-year-old part is what makes it just, you're done.
Could you imagine being embattled as a 20-year-old? I wouldn't want to be embattled because embattled is like, hey.
I mean, I thought, like, I had some chicks who hated me because I made out with their boyfriends when I was 20, and that I thought that was going to be the worst thing that ever happened to me.
That made you controversial.
Yes, but I wasn't embattled.
No, you weren't embattled. You didn't have lazy journalists circling looking for you.
Yeah, but, and especially because this chick looks exactly like her mother, so... She's not coming back from this. Like,
no.
Her life is over. Well, all she knows how to do is be an Instagram star. And her mom cheated her way into college, which she's not going to anymore. And she just had to deactivate her Instagram account.
Here's the thing.
She is done.
This is where the embattled part of it comes in.
Like, hopefully, my fingers are crossed for you, Bella, or whatever the hell your name is, that you find some really, really lonely 60-year-old in Malibu to just tuck you away in his mansion until he croaks. And then you get all his money and get to go to the restaurant I used to work at in Malibu that is also tucked away so that the rest of Los Angeles doesn't have to look at you.
Hey, TSA needs screeners. No previous experience required to be a TSA screener. They train. TSA needs screeners.
Love seeing Lori Loughlin's daughter giving me a pat down.
Those uniforms that would be, not flattering. That by might. The way. That might.
There's like nobody who looks good in those uniforms. No. But that would maybe be like the highlight of my life is having Dum Dum Bella. Yeah, we all know you don't row crew. Pat me down in her really ugly.
But see, it's interesting because knowing the lazy media the way that I do, if you're on Embattled, like that's a step up. That means they believe that she knew what she was doing, that she was not an innocent bystander in this, unlike Felicity Huffman's daughter, who found out through the media that her mother fixed her test scores. And was like, wait, you did what? Do you think I'm dumb? Do you think I'm too dumb to get into college? Mom, why?
And it's like, because you are.
Yeah.
Well, I do feel bad for her in a way because for that exact reason where it's just like, your mom knows you're an idiot. She knows there's a 0% chance that you would actually be able to get into college of your own volition. Oh, by the way, if you want to email me, it's chasebelaine@gmail.com. I'll tell you what the word volition means. Please don't actually email me. I have enough emails anyway.
Soon to be embattled, Chase Belaine. 855-915-9636. On the
Screw
town.
Screw you, I'm disgraced.
On the town with my. No, you're not disgraced yet. I'll let you know when you're disgraced. The controversial On the Town with Mikey D will be coming up next here on WMFO Medford about 14 minutes from now. Before then, our favorite things from the past week, the strangest things from the past week, and an all time great classic salute to tax season here on WMFO Medford.
This one's called Taxman.
Let me tell you how it will be. This one for you, 19 for me. And I'm a taxman. Yeah.
international struggles of our world may lead to
nuclear holocaust.
To survive, you must have protection from radioactive fallout.
In the past, heavy equipment necessitated a long, costly operation for out-of-home shelter installation.
Today, Survive All basement-type shelters offer a combination steel and concrete do-it-yourself fallout shelter.
Civil defense approved, Survive All offers maximum protection from fallout and falling debris, plus a basic equipment kit for family survival.
There's low initial cost and FHA approval. Nothing down in 5 years to pay.
For your family's protection, see a Survive All shelter today.
Don't miss Tony Award-winning best musical, Titanic. It sails onto the stage at North Shore Music Theater in Beverly May 4th and 5th. A lush and stunning musical score and fascinating real-life stories of her passengers. It's a captivating experience for both history buffs and music lovers. Titanic, presented by Voices of Hope. Tickets for Titanic support cancer research at Mass General Hospital and are available now at nsmt.org. That's nsmt.org.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane, and with me as always is the illustrious Derek Gary. Wrapping things up, but before we go, we are going to tell you the greatest things from the past week. And for me, it's been a very personal night day. My best friend in the entire world, Kim Cherry, moved on in The Voice.
Nice.
Yeah, she moved on in The Voice last night. And from here on out, it's all based on audience votes. So it'd be awesome if you guys could tune in at NBC. It's on Monday and Tuesday. And it's getting narrowed and narrowed and narrowed.
Support local music, you mugs.
Yeah, she's the lead singer of Legends Summer, which is an awesome local Boston band. And I mean, she's just amazing. You guys listen to me all the time. You know what a pain in the butt I am. So the fact that she puts up with me is a testament in and of itself. But so Mondays, Tuesdays, 8 o'clock, tune in to NBC, and you can download The Voice app. It's literally go into your app, thingamabob, and type in The Voice. It'll come up, and just vote for her 10 times.
Yeah. Just vote, support local.
Kim Cherry.
Support Kim Cherry. Support local music.
Yeah.
Or you don't get any more. You don't get any live music if you don't support live music. Support local music.
That's pretty much the way it works.
Boston bands need your love and support if they're going to succeed and grow. Go support Kim. Watch The Voice. And while you're doing that, grab yourself a Budweiser. Budweiser, in honor of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, is going to have.
What? That's the randomest connection ever.
50th anniversary of the moon landing, kind of a big deal for the United States. The, you know, we put a man on the moon. Like, kind of a big deal. Kind of cool.
Wait, don't you mean we put a man in a sound stage?
No, we put it. Stop that.
I just knew that would piss you off.
To celebrate the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, Budweiser Discovery Reserve is going to be coming out this summer.
Oh, cool.
The brew is inspired by a specialty beer recipe from Bud's archives that date back to the Apollo moon missions of the 1960s and 1970s. The 2019 version is made from medium roast Voyager barley malt. Now, I got excited about this thinking that, you know, oh, they're going to make Budweiser the way they used to. It'll be like Bud Classic. Apparently, this
Bud
wasn't...
Bud Heavy, if you will.
Apparently, this wasn't mainline Budweiser. This was something that they were playing around with back then. But at least it will probably taste better than Budweiser. So go check that out. Budweiser.
Famous last words.
Budweiser Discovery Reserve. I never got the stuff based on the George Washington recipe last year because I can never find the damn stuff.
Like... the ingredients, you mean?
No, they had like a recipe from George Washington that they used to make Budweiser last summer.
Well, then why don't you go to Whole Foods? They have tons of stuff that I have no idea what
it is. No, I mean the actual beer. I couldn't find the actual beer.
Oh, I thought you were saying you couldn't find the actual ingredients to make the beer.
No, you couldn't find the... They had cans of the stuff and nobody had it. You walk in a liquor store, they're like, hey, this is Craft Beer Country, said we don't drink Budweiser.
Where's their head at? WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up with the big picture, but before we go, we're going to tell you the weirdest story we found from the past week. For me, an Arizona man was searching for gold when he fell into a 100-foot deep mine shaft in a remote desert area.
Not a good time.
Sparking an hours-long rescue mission. John Waddell, 60, was pulled from the shaft 2 days after his carabiner clip broke, sending him tumbling 40 to 50 feet into the bottom of the mine. Terry Schrader said Waddell, who's a close friend of him, called him to say he was trekking out to the remote desert near Aguila, about 90 miles northwest of Phoenix, to search for precious metal. And had told him that if he wasn't back by Tuesday, he needed to search for him. Luckily, he knew exactly where to find him. He's totally fine. But, I mean, it's 2019. Are we really still searching for gold? At this point, we should be trying to figure out how alchemy works.
Do you watch Discovery Channel? There's like all kinds of shows about people looking for gold in like old mines and like Nazi gold and hillsides, and there's gold in the oceans. It's like, apparently there's a lot of gold out there.
Have they tried like doing puzzles?
I don't know. I'm just saying, a lot of gold.
Pobrecitos.
People like the gold. Oregon. We don't get out to Oregon much.
Oh, yeah. We don't really do a lot of Oregon.
A woman in Washington County called police.
That sounded weird.
A woman in Washington County called police to report an intruder in her home. She said the intruder was in the bathroom and she could see shadows moving at the foot of the door. Police arrived with a canine unit to investigate. They heard rustling inside and banged on the door, ordering the intruder out. One officer noted that the noise at the door resulted in more sound from the bathroom. So they're banging on the door and they're hearing more inside. After waiting for 10 minutes, police decided to break down the door and confronted a Roomba vacuum cleaner along with what one officer described as, quote, a very thorough cleaning job, end quote. Washington County Police posted a snapshot of the Roomba on their Facebook page, stamped with red letters spelling out the word captured.
Okay, I already loved Oregon based on the experiences I've had there.
That's like, a state where people...
Now just blowing the roof straight off.
You may remember Oregon is a state where people were afraid to pump their own gas a couple of years ago when they had to start doing it. And they were like, I tried it once and I almost died. Now they're being frightened by their Roombas.
Well, Oregon is actually where my brother-in-law is from.
It's like... You know, as a pet owner, I have to say it is probably easier for you to sneak into my house and sneak around because 99% of the noises that I hear,
the cat's walking
around. Yeah, it's the cat. Like, oh, the cat's screwing up again. And it's like, no, there could be burglars walking around. And I'm just like, is anything...
Oh, no, that's why I was convinced my house growing up was haunted because I'd be like... I'd hear creaking, like creaks up the stairs. Yeah. I lived in a 150-year-old house. But I'd be like, oh, it must be the cat. And I'd look at the foot of my bed and I'm like, the cat's at the foot of my bed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, those Roombas will get you.
Yeah. Must have apparently it locked itself in the bathroom. And it's like, are you thinking that like, oh my God, where's the Roomba?
I was really scared.
That is all the time we have for this week. Until next time, Shea Spillane.
I love you all. Mwah.